The following message is from the pulpit ministry of Lake City Baptist Church. It is our prayer that God would use this to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. For more information about Lake City Baptist Church, please visit us on the web at lakecitybaptist.ca. Genesis chapter 2, verse number 18. We're going to read through a similar passage, or actually the same passage, rather, that we read through last week. The title of the sermon, of course, the series is The Home, and we're talking today about order in the home. Order in the home. We talked last week about how the home was a marriage and the home are ordained by God. They're an institution that He instituted here in the book of Genesis. One man, one woman for life is God's principle. We talked last week a little bit about some exceptions to that. God did make allowance in His Word, but it wasn't just a willy-nilly pattern. Genesis chapter 2, verse number 18, the Bible says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." The Bible teaching about Christian marriage is sometimes, in today's popular culture, difficult. Intense personal experiences, sometimes differing cultural norms, and ideological differences tangle themselves with the Bible. You know, it matters where we come from, because we were raised with certain thoughts and expectations. It's very different if you were raised in Norway or Switzerland or someplace like that, or Sweden. Your thoughts than if you were raised in Iran or Iraq are very different. And they're different even from time to time in Canada. For example, in North America, the radical feminists, that's true, there was a radical feminist movement in Canada. Nobody knew what they wanted. They didn't know what they wanted. They couldn't even express what they wanted. It's a little bit like some of the racial problems that we have among the world today. Nobody knows what they want. They just want things to be better. They don't know what better means or how to get to better or how to achieve better. They want to be not discriminated against while simultaneously discriminating their own selves against other races. You can't have Black Power Day and not have White Power Day. Now, I'm not a white racist. I'm going to say this for the tape's sake. I'm not suggesting that for a single solitary second, but it's racism to have Black Power Day. It's racism to have an all-Indian rodeo. Because the flip side would be, we would be in trouble for to even suggest remotely. And I'm not suggesting we have an all-white rodeo. I'm suggesting we don't have an all-Indian rodeo, because the same is racist as one as the other. And so the feminism movement that happened in the 50s, the 60s, etc., it was motivated by Marxist ideals, claimed that men oppress women and they must be dislodged at any cost from that position of power. But it's interesting, because you talk to ladies and they don't know what they want. You'll talk to a feminist who wants a man to provide for her. How can you be feminist and want a man to provide for her? That's just wrong. Who pays the tab when we go to the restaurant? She wants to be taken out for dinner. That's not a feminist idea, to be taken out for dinner. That's a traditional idea of a relationship between a man and a woman. Okay? So some cultures, but on the flip side, let me reread this here. I got a bunch of thoughts. I got to get through my intro. It's long. Consider females to be equal to males. Consequently, you will hear that neither should be the head of the household, but that both should share that role equally. Some cultures go so far as to consider the women to be property of the male. Chattel. And that's the Islamic nations all believe that, okay? The simple answer is, of course, the Bible is right, but then what does it say? We've got to flip back to Genesis to uncover the original creative design in marriage, and as a result of that, the home. In the sequence of creation, God first created Adam from the earth. That we'd find that in Genesis 2:7. We're not going to read all these verses, but I'll just mention them. You can look at them later, okay? Secondly, he created Eve from Adam. That was Genesis 2, verse 21 and 22. The purpose of the woman's creation was found in Genesis 2:18. It was not good for Adam to be alone. You'll find that most men left alone to their own devices. It's not a good thing. Amen? Would you rather just leave the boys at the house alone, or would you rather leave the girls at the house alone? Yeah. Just a thought. Next, you see the design of marriage in Genesis chapter 2, verse 23 through 25. There you learn that it involves one man, one woman, who permanently unite together in a family unit. This leaves room for several generations, by the way, living together. This was the original pattern, the way that people lived together, was not North American. So we've taken leave and cleave to a North American extreme. They lived in the great big old tent. They lived all together in large family units. That's very common. Our society is all messed up. The whole idea of care homes and care facilities just wasn't done. But there were enough people around with a larger family unit to be able to, where they just looked after one another in the process. Now, that did not mean that there was an authority problem, because in many cultures there's an authority problem. In some cultures, when a couple gets married, the new wife is subservient to the mother-in-law. I mean, in North America, all the ladies in here just went, ugh. But that's, truthfully, that's the Chinese culture. It's very much that way. So she loses her old family. I guess we could say that. I mean, there's parts of that in North American culture. It's traditional for the wife to take the husband's name. It's actually available to her for free. You can do that for free. That's because that's part of law and Canadian culture based on the Bible. But then nobody expects the wife to be subservient in North America to the mother-in-law. Matter of fact, that's not even good practice. But in China, that's exactly the way that it is. And so I know missionaries who serve in China who will not let their daughters date Chinese men. Even Christian men, because they bring their culture. When you get saved, your soul gets saved. And when you learn the Bible, you learn the Bible. But not all those things get shed instantly, right? They're stuck with us for a while. They've got to be taught out of us. And when you come from a culture and everybody beside you lives that way, it's hard not to live that way. And so anyways, I'm just talking here. So this, while the authority does rest in a new family unit, the leave and cleave part does not mean abandon and neglect. That's what I'm trying to get after. Family is the bedrock, foundational institution of any society. The fall of humanity brought turmoil to the marriage. The consequent curse fell on people, nature, and marriage. A telling verse in Genesis 3:16 says, "Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." Two crucial conditions are contained in God's pronouncement, desire and rule. Rule refers to the fact of virtually universal male dominance in all creation. It is in all creation. You don't see the females what do you see in rutting season? The men fighting for the girls, or the girls fighting for the guys? You understand what I'm? All of creation is very similar in this way. This dynamic is as self-evident as having to work hard to make a living. In Genesis 3, verse 17 through 19, that was another part of the curse that was placed upon mankind. The second condition is the attraction of the woman for her husband. It's very, very true. Ladies, the Bible talks about our desire. That's not the bedroom. That's not what that is when this word says desire. Sometimes we might think that. You're trying to interpret that passage and think, okay, well, that's what that's talking about. It's not talking about that. But I'm telling you that a woman that is married, her faithfulness and fidelity and loyalty and trust and her heart resting in her husband is sometimes often greater. It's much more pronounced in a lady than it sometimes is in a guy. sometimes as a man, we're just stupid and don't see it. We don't realize that that she thinks that way. But that's part of what happened, or what the result of this was, okay? The problem is not those things. The problem is the perversion of these conditions by husbands and wives. The word desire, by the way, is the same word. It's only used a couple times in the Bible, and it's found in Genesis 4:7, when God said to Cain, "And if thou doest well, sin lieth unto thee, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him." Here's the picture. Just as sin's tendency is to pounce upon us to dominate our wives, so do wives sometimes seek to assert dominance over their husbands. That's when the creation gets broken. The good motive to have a husband turns to an obsession to manipulate and overpower the husband. Rebellion and mutiny reign. On the other side of the token, my sister will say that. Ain't no man telling me what to do. Ain't no man telling me what to do. And I notice that I'm not a big believer in Facebook, but I notice on her Facebook profile she went from being in a relationship the other day to it's complicated. Why is it complicated? Ain't no man going to tell me what to do. That'll make it complicated. Guarantee you. Because she doesn't want to live life with somebody. She wants to control the life of somebody. And those things are just wrong. All right. So on the other side of the token, husbands may rule their wives with ruthless disregard rather than loving concern. A power struggle is set up and spoils Christian marriages. Another self-evident fact of creation. Paul corrected the unnatural rule of husbands over their wives. It served as a great liberation to women. He wrote in Galatians 3:28, he said, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus." The context of Galatians, by the way, is not dealing with marriage. It is dealing with salvation. But it can be used to illustrate the fact that there is no discrimination by God based on race, ethnicity, or gender. All can be saved, for instance, and all have equal value, status, and access to God. It's not like the wife has more access to God or the husband has more access to God. It's not like that. This is not about status and privilege. In Christian marriage, both husband and wife enjoy equal status and privilege before God because of their position in Christ. However, equal status, this is where we're getting to, equal status and marital roles are two different things. We each have a role to fulfill in marriage. Paul writes, and this we're going to go here, we're going to look at some verses along the way. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 23. Remember I talked about order in the home. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 23. It says this, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body." So we see here that this is important. Recall earlier that woman was created by God from man, while man was created by God from the earth. Consequently, the woman derives her being and life from man. She originates from man. You say, how does that happen? This is interesting. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. The New Testament teaches this as well. I think that we have a modern Christian movement that totally ignores what the New Testament teaches. And I could get into a little bit about what they teach. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 8 and 9. Now, when you think about childbirth, you automatically think of the man comes from the woman. But the Bible in verse number 8 of 1 Corinthians 8 says, "For the man is not of the woman, but the woman is of the man." How did woman come from man? She was created from God, Adam's rib. Verse number 9, "For the woman, neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man." So Paul even himself in the church at Corinth was trying to set an order. They had a big problem in Corinth. They had a marital problem. They had a societal problem. They had issues that he would have had to deal with that many times we see in modern society. Man even gave woman her name. What's her name? Woman, come from man. That's what it basically means. And she said, this is now bone of my bones. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. From God's creative design, woman was to be a helpmeet to her husband. A helpmeet assists, not rules another. Paul spoke to this structured chain of responsibility. We're still in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Look at verse number 3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Paul setting up the structure of authority right there. The fact of hierarchy is recognized in every part of society. I worked for an employer, and I'm going to use this illustration. I worked for an employer, and I remember he used to talk about team mentality. We've got to have a team. Nobody's in charge. Everybody's a team. We'll make joint decisions. We'll make group decisions. We'll do everything together. It was a joint decision until you got paid. And then there was a hierarchy, and it was the boss, and it was his money. And you had to prove that you earned your paycheck, if you will. And sometimes it was a bonus, or sometimes it was different things that you might be looking for. I'm telling you, it was team until you got behind the door and the checkbook came open, and then it was all about the name on the bottom of the checkbook. So we can fool ourselves and say that corporations don't live without a hierarchy. They live with a hierarchy. My wife's experiencing that in Walmart. What do they do? You ever see what they do? Well, you ever bust into Walmart first thing in the morning and watch them out there? Walmart, 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 rah, rah, rah. All about the team. So you need a day off. You don't ask the team. You ask your supervisor, who gets permission from their supervisor, who may have to go to the manager. That's a hierarchy. That's exactly what that is. That's a hierarchy, okay? So those things exist in all of society, and even those cultures who claim to be equal in every aspect. So that's what we're going to look at today is our roles in marriage. We're going to delve deeper into them in the 2 weeks to come. We're going to get even deeper into these. But number one, we're going to deal with, this is really simple. Number one, husband. That's a complicated point. Husband. What's the role of the husband? And I got three thoughts underneath that, okay? I got three thoughts underneath that. Letter A, lead. Husbands need to be leaders. I think we live in a society. Now, Williams Lake, not so bad. I truly mean that. Not Williams Lake so bad. But I'm telling you, you come from Kelowna. There are a bunch of namby-pamby, girly men. Need some men that are men. I don't mean that. Now, Mrs. Lenvoy likes Duck Dynasty. You do not have to look like a long-haired, mullet-headed redneck with a tattoo and three chest hairs to be a man. That does not make you a man, okay? make you look a little odd, but it does not make you a man. But a man should lead. God has designed us to lead our homes. God requires us to lead our homes. The buck stops right here. I am responsible. I stand responsible today. I will stand responsible tomorrow. I will stand responsible next week. My wife is my helpmeet. She is not built to lead the home. Is not built to do it. And so if she tries, she does not do well. Sometimes I have almost pulled my wife out of Walmart. I'll be honest with you. Now I let her work, and that's her thing. But she does not do well in the environment where all these pressures and outside things are coming on her. She wasn't built for that. God did not design her to do that. But my wife raised a great kid. She was good at that. I'm happy with Tammy so far. We have not had to stone her outside the gates of the city yet. Amen? So I'm just saying she was built to do that. She did that really well. She is not built for the work environment. Now she wants to work. She feels like she contributes. She feels like sitting around at the house with no, you know, just staring at the walls will drive her stir crazy. So I'm not saying she can't, but I'm saying she don't have to. The buck stops here. Right here. I stand responsible, and we need to lead. In a world constantly feminized, we lack men who will lead. The greatest gap in Christendom is godly male leadership. Now, I'm not suggesting this guy's Christian, but I listen to Judge Joe Brown every once in a while. I don't know if you've ever seen him on TV. And he tells them miserable guys, man up! Man up! Men ought to man up! You young men here, a couple of teenage boys, one day, the Lord willing, for within the next 40 years or so, you may find some woman who may decide to have you for a husband. Well, be a man! Don't... Not like that. Just reach forward and whack her for me, Glenn. But man up! Man up! Be a man! Be a man! How many times in society do I hear about, you know, some loser living with a woman, all the households in her name and the rent's in her name and the utilities are in her name and he can't get a cell phone account because he's not a man. He's a lazy bum. Useless piece of humanity. Now Jesus loves him and he needs to get saved and I'm more than happy to tell him the gospel, okay? And I'm never going to tell him to his face that he's a useless doorknob because he'll stop talking to me. But do I think it? Oh, yeah, I think it. Man up. Be a man. Be a dad. Amen? Lead your children. Lead your children. He said unto the woman, he said, I'll greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. This is Genesis 3:16. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire to be shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. I mean, we could have picked a different word, but God chose rule. You know, don't get mad at me. Get mad at the Lord for using rule. But that's leadership. So lead, I got some areas of lead. This is still under A. So one was husband, A is lead, and then underneath there I got a couple of little spots to think. Letter number one, spiritually. Men ought to lead spiritually. I mean, I don't know how many times I go door knocking and I've had some great big old brute of a man. You know, he thinks he's a man. And look at me. I'm a little more than 145 pounds. It used to be 145 pounds, but apparently things have changed. Why, I've shrinking my pants. But I'm still not an imposing, hulking figure of a man. When you see Pastor Lenboy standing here, you do not think, man, that's a great big old dude. He's kind of scary and intimidating, isn't he? No, I am not that guy. Okay? But when I, you know, and some great big old boy will come to the door and, you know, he's looking like a big old guy. And I say, you know, I'm Pastor Lenboy from Lake City Baptist Church. Yeah, my wife takes care of that. Your wife takes care of that. Why? Because you don't have the testicles to talk to me. That's why your wife takes care of that. Man up! Lead the home spiritually. Be a man. All right? So, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 7. Let's go there. We're going to read some verses here. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 7. It's the husband's responsibility to spiritually guide the home. So did you do that, Pastor Lenboy? Yeah, I did that. So what did you do when your wife and daughter didn't feel like going to church? I told them, get in the truck. We're going to church. I don't care if you feel like it. We're going. Sit there and be mad if you want to, but we're going to go. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 7. Well, the book of verse number 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Verse number 9, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Decorate the house with Scripture. Well, that's kind of what that's talking about. Now, the Jews had some customs with that. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse number 18. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse number 18. Therefore shall you lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thy house and upon thy gates. So we're supposed to teach spiritually at home. But my daughter reads her Bible because I made her read her Bible. Now, I'm not trying to tell you that my wife had no part in that. I'm just trying to tell you that I led. It was time to lead. We served the Lord as a family. As an individual, I served the Lord, and I got my family to serve the Lord. We went together, and we were tired, and we were exhausted. And yet we did things that needed to be done anyways, as a family. I have different philosophies than some people. Some people get really worried about their young people and sleep. Last time I checked, nobody ever died from lack of sleep. Amen? So we served the Lord, and sometimes we stayed late. But that was what needed to be done, and so we stayed late. So then they slept in the morning. No, then they got when we get out of bed. I mean, that's the way I grew up. That's exactly how I grew up. So why should my child, when I'm going to lead my home spiritually, and then this is letter B, by the way, at church, why should I make my daughter? You know, there's a whole group of European immigrants that made a grave mistakes when they came to Canada. They came from nothing. They were hard working. I mean, work was everything. Most of those Eastern Bloc countries, the people that came from there, they worked so hard. And then they gave lavish lifestyles to their children. And their children can't do anything. They were never taught to work. They didn't have to do dishes, didn't have to do anything. Those are the Xbox junkies, the kids that just don't have to do anything because mom and dad provided everything for them. And, you know, oh, you poor baby, sleep in a little bit. I'm 46 years old. I don't ever remember you poor baby sleep in a little bit. I was never told that. So why on earth would I tell my child that? Get up. You're tired. Snap out of it. Get going. Why? Because I'm a dad and I'm going to lead. And usually, mom makes those decisions in North American society, and moms are softer than dads. Because if we were in my house and mom had her way, when dad said, get that boy out of bed, mom would have not got me out of bed. I would have slept in. Because I'd been out late doing what out late people do when they're teenagers with no curfew. And mom would have felt sympathy for me and my poor headache and would have let me sleep. And my dad instead would have grabbed me by the foot, yanked me out of bed, and said, go to work. Well, why should my child be any different? I believe that I learned character from that. I believe that I learned what's right and wrong from that. And so, I led that way at home. All right, another B, a church. So there's some things in the scriptures that we're going to look at where the men are supposed to lead at church. And I'm just going to show you some things. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 34. It's B, the B at church, yeah. Yeah, little one B. my outlines are too deep sometimes. We're still on big point number one. We're still under A. We went to one, which was spiritually. We got three little points underneath A, but on the side point underneath the first one, spiritually, I got an A and a B. Is that making sense? Okay. All right. So first was at home, and then letter B at church. And we're going to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And we are going to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We're going to look at verse number 34. So the church of Corinth, we're going back to that bad example. And Paul was setting order in the church, and look at what he said in verse number 34. He said, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. But they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, which is a pastoral epistle. So this dealt with structure and order in a church as well. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 11. It says here, let the women learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not, or allow not, a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. So we can get into deeper what that's talking about. That's certainly not, don't ever ask a question in church. That's dealing with the service of the church. That's dealing with the teaching ministry and the preaching ministry. So who is supposed to lead the church? The men. You know what most churches lack? Men. Men, because we live in a namby-pamby society where men don't want to man up. Take some responsibility. Lead the church. We're supposed to be leaders, and we're supposed to lead the church. So I've just got some things. You know, go faithfully. Men ought to go faithfully. Bring your family and serve with your family. We're supposed to be, you know, it wasn't up to my wife to make sure we went to church in the morning. She didn't have to check with me, how do you feel? Do you think we should go to church today? No, we were going. Because I set that rule and that was the way we lived. And who made those decisions? I did. I'm not saying she didn't agree with it. That's not the issue. The issue was I was going to be a leader. Lead. So we went. And we went when it was convenient, and we went when it wasn't convenient. We lived clear across Kelowna, across a bridge. I remember we lost our vehicle. And we were like 150-mile house away from church, and we had no vehicle. And so we got dressed on a Wednesday night, and we caught the bus and went to church. I wasn't going to let not having a vehicle stop me from going to church. Now, I'm as proud as the next guy. I don't want to come wandering in off the bus. But we went wandering in off the bus. Because I'm going to lead, and we're going to be faithful, and we're going to do right. And so, I think that we need some men to lead. Lead, number two. This is still under A. Positively. Lead positively. Proverbs 17. I'm going to read you two verses, and I'm not going to turn to everyone here, because we'll be just here for a long time. Lead positively. So, what are you getting that from? Well, first of all, I want to understand the mentality of children. The Bible says in Proverbs 17:6, children's children, which we call grandchildren, are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. Children look up to dad like you have no idea how they look up to dad. So we need to lead positively. Because in Ephesians, and this is what I'm getting at, in Ephesians 6:4, the Bible says this, but ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Say positively, why? Because if you lead and everything that comes out of your tongue is constantly negative, you will hurt your kids. You will. We need to lead, but we need to encourage while we lead. If dad is all doom and gloom, nobody wants to be around dad. And I actually, this was part of the case in my life. If I've ever struggled with anything, it's been the fact that I could not meet my father's approval. I could not get my father's approval. The bar was moved when I got to the bar. The bar was always placed higher. And I do not believe in that. Do I believe in chewing a kid out when they need it? Yup. Yup. I believe in it enough. I'll chew yours out if they need it. But I'm just saying that we need to lead positively. Encourage children. Encourage your young people. All right? So lead positively. Then lead, number three, I got actively. By actively, I mean be proactive about leading the house. Be proactive about spend some time with mom. Spend some time with the kids. My daughter loves to spend time with dad. Loves to spend time with dad. When she comes home, it makes me frustrated and angry when I can't spend time with her when she's home for vacation. I make effort to spend time with her. As a dad, you need to do that. So you young men here, looking at when you you know, get in the position of being a husband, because we're talking about a husband 40 years from now or whenever that is. You know, listen, spend some time with your kids. Don't be like today's society who just busy, 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 busy. Get out of here, you little brat. I don't have time. I got to do this and I got to do that, and then I got to go do this and I got to go do that. Life goes on. But you don't get time back with your children. You can't buy it back. You can't. So do it while you can. Make time. So actively. Letter B. So we're on to big letter B, okay? So we've got husband, was letter A was lead. Letter B, look after. Letter B is look after. So what are you talking about? Provide for. Provide for. In 2 Thessalonians 3:10, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you that if any would not work, neither should he eat. The buck stops here. If the bills don't get paid, it's my fault. It's my fault as a dad. It's my fault as a husband. So I don't put my family in position where we can't pay the bills. Because that's my responsibility. I can't shuffle that over to my wife and say, you look after that, or I can't keep that organized. But I better keep it organized. I better figure out how to keep it organized. I better stay on top of it. Because God did not build her to do that. She's my helpmeet. That's my responsibility. And so I take my responsibility seriously. Provide for. With authority comes responsibility. You know, we live in a society, sometimes guys get that idea, you know, they say, oh yeah, well, the Bible says, bless God, look after me, you know. With authority comes responsibility. Everybody in my household is my responsibility. I stay awake at night sometimes. Not tell anybody, but I stay awake at night because I'm worrying about my family. Because I'm concerned about my family. Because I'm praying for my family. Why? Because the buck stops here. I got to look after them. I got to make sure everything's okay. I got to make sure that their physical needs are met. I got to make sure that their spiritual needs are met. I got to make sure that their emotional needs are met. I got to make sure they're okay. I take that very seriously. Trust me, get in between me and my family. You will tick me off. You will have upset pastor. I'm serious about it. Letter C. Responsibility of the husband. Love. Colossians 3:19. We're going to go there. Actually, you go to Ephesians 5. Let's go back to Ephesians 5 because there's some stuff here we're just going to look through in Ephesians 5. And I'll read you Colossians 3. You know, Colossians 3 and Ephesians 5, two different churches with similar problems. And so these things were kind of emphasized to both churches. And those passages run parallel. In Ephesians 6, 1, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Colossians 3:20 says, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. So there's very, very similar passages of Scripture. I think Paul wrote one letter and then thought, yeah, that's pretty good. I'll just kind of rewrite what I wrote to one church. I'll rewrite it to the other church because they could use that too. So Colossians 3:19 says, husband, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 through 23 say, husbands, I'm sorry, says this, wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Pastor Mailey used to point out when we read through there that was important to know that the wives were supposed to submit themselves unto their own husbands, not unto everybody else's husband. And then it says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be subject to their own husbands, to be their own husbands in everything. And then it says in verse 25, husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That's talking about deeply sacrificial love. That's talking about charity love. That's talking about putting my wife and my family first. So how do I love my wife? Well, there's three things that are listed here in this passage in Ephesians 5 underneath the point of love. First of all, as Christ loved the church. as Christ loved the church. The Bible tells me that Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. They come first in everything. In everything. Mrs. Lenvoy comes first. She drives a newer vehicle. She's got the newer cell phone. She's got bedding. I don't know what she bought. She bought a whole pile of stuff. Now, we had the money to do it. I'm not suggesting that it's all about money. I'm just trying to illustrate to you, my wife comes first. Do I want new things? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I like bright, shiny things just like every other guy likes bright, shiny things. But my wife comes first. And so she comes first in all these areas and all these issues, even as Christ loved the church. Christ put himself, he laid down his life for the church. He gave himself for the church. How else could we express how much that we're supposed to love our wife? Look at verse 28 and 29 of the same chapter. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Nobody gets up in the morning and says, I'm going to punish myself. That'll make me feel better. Now we may do it inadvertently. Pastor does it inadvertently every day. I drink enough Coke to float a boat, and that's probably not the best thing for my body. But I'm not punishing it. I'm just satisfying its cravings. It's not quite the same. But the Bible teaches me that I'm supposed to love my wife as I love my own body. And I, you know, we love our bodies. We're concerned about it. If you hurt yourself, you're concerned about it. I mean, I get what it's like to... I'm a guy. I don't fuss and fret over a little scratch on my finger. But I don't set out to deliberately injure myself. That's not my goal in the morning. I do not take, you know, hammers and beat myself. I don't get these guys that do the bizarre body modification, hanging themselves from fishing hooks, all this weirdo stuff. You've seen all that. You know about it. But I... Well, just ridiculous, you know. Now, I might challenge myself to a physical feat of some kind, but I'm not waking up in the morning desiring to destroy my body. Well, I ought to treat my wife like I treat my body. I'm kind to my body. I care for my body. I try to take care of my body. I'll take care of my wife. And then, thirdly, as look at verse 33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. How much are you supposed to love your wife? Just like you love you. Most people love themselves too much, not too little. Most wives, people love themselves too much, not too little. We may delve deeper into being a husband, but we're going to go on this morning to the wife, big point number two, the wife. Number one was the husband. Number two is the wife. So what's the wife got to do? Three simple things I've outlined. We can, as I said, we can get deeper. Now, letter A, submit. When I guarantee you somebody listens to this, this is going to frost their cornflakes. This is not popular 21st century ideology. Submit. If we have an opposing problem to the lack of leadership from men in today's society, it is the abundance of control in women in today's society. There are two opposing problems. Some men refuse to lead, and there are other situations where ladies or women will refuse to let them. Let your husband lead. Genesis 3:16. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, and sorrow shalt thou bring forth children. Thy desire shall be to thy husband. He shall rule over thee. That was God that wrote that. The one that makes no mistakes. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20 through to 24. We're here already, says that. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. So verse 24 says, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So word submit does not mean, I have a whole pile of them here that it does not mean. It does not mean, submit does not mean emasculate. It does not mean threaten, manipulate, hoodwink, scam, seduce, or play for a sucker. If he won't lead, remember, you picked him. You picked him. Here's an odd thought. This is just an odd thought I had yesterday thinking about this. A headless body is odd, but replacing the head with the rib makes less sense. Eve was taken from the rib. So, submit. Listen, follow your husband's lead. Don't fight him on everything. Don't fight him on everything. My rib in the head, you're laughing. You're thinking of Arby's. I say ribs and Wyatt thinks Arby's. So don't fight him on everything. Too many times in today's society, you know, there's two ways that wives will fight their husbands. And one is open confrontation, you know. And chirp 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 and keep coming at it, coming at it, coming at it, coming at it, coming at it until he finally goes, fine, do whatever you want. Oh, good, you know, now he agrees with me. He doesn't agree with you. He's tired of hearing you chirp. He just gave in. Thought, ha, done with this. Go ahead, do whatever. That's not Bible. That's not submission. And the other one is the backdoor manipulation. We're going to get to an area where ladies manipulate with in a little while. I'm not saying every lady is a manipulator, but this happens all the time in today's society. I'm not saying that you do this. But if you do, quit it. Because that ain't right. Let it be support. And I don't mean monetarily. I mean get behind them. Help them. So if you're going to make a decision over whose career comes first, I think the Bible has the answer. There's no debate about that. Well, a woman says, I have to give up my career for you. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if that's the choice that needs to be made. I'm just saying, the husband's supposed to lead and head the household, and the wife's supposed to submit and support. Support. So, Genesis 2:18, the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make a helpmeet for him. Not a provider. Not a ruler over. I'll make a helpmeet. I'll make you some help. You're created for companionship and different things, and we're going to talk about a little bit about that, okay? So number one, support his occupation. Remember we said that Eve was made not because Adam was made imperfect, but that Adam was made incomplete. It is not good for him to be alone. He needed a helpmeet. And so the Lord made Eve. So support his occupation. Support his direction. If he's going to lead the home in a particular direction, support his direction. And support his imperfections. Occasionally, a wife may find, from time to time, that her husband is not completely perfect. Yeah, Sue's had a hard time. Support his imperfections. It's funny sometimes how much we need one another. And the qualities and characteristics that I lack, she has. And the ones she lacks, I have. Why do you think the Lord threw us together? Because we were incomplete. And our marriage didn't start off on fruitful ground. Most people that I know in church do not know exactly how we met. We don't talk about it. Okay? Because we were both drunk. And then she didn't move out. That's how we started. Yeah, that's not your typical Christian footing for a relationship, is it? No. There was a hot redhead that used to walk by my motel room door, and I invited her in one day, and she didn't move out. She was pregnant in a month. Can God put things together? Yep. The Lord can work in spite of us. Now, we did it unsaved. I'm not trying to suggest that you toss caution to the wind. Have there been extra difficulties because of that? Yes, there have been extra difficulties because of that. I love my wife. This is not said to mean dishonor or disrespect in any way, shape, or form. But I'm just being honest with you. Well, I'll talk about that a lot. Why? Because it's nothing in there that honors the Lord. Nothing in there that honors the Lord. But that's who we are. All right? So support is imperfection. Letter C, strengthen. Strengthen. So what's that talking about? Proverbs 14:1. The Bible says this: every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. You can tear a wife can tear a home apart, not the house. It may still be standing, but the home can get wrecked from the inside out. So, number one, strengthen the home. Strengthen the home. I got some things I thought about. You know, number two, strengthen his heart. He needs encouragement. Just because a guy's a guy and leads doesn't mean that he doesn't get discouraged and he doesn't get disappointed and everybody needs a little pat on the back from time to time. And most guys don't wander around and say, I need a hug. I've never told my wife that. But I appreciate him when I get him. Yeah. Yeah. You know, strengthen his heart. Sometimes he needs to be consoled. When a husband loses a parent or a sibling, it's hard times. He needs to be consoled. Sometimes, occasionally, he needs to be told, suck it up, sister. Get over your man cold. We'll stop acting like Honey Boo Boo and get out there and do something. Number three, strengthen his health. You want to make a man happy? Feed him. It's the truth. Miss Lenvoy's been making me happy. You know the best investment I made? I'll tell you, honestly. I've made investments in our marriage all over the place. She came to me before Christmas, and she wanted this Kindle thing. I thought, that's probably a fad. She's a gadget gal anyway. She likes to have those gadgets. I mean, I don't begrudge her it. That's not the issue. But I thought, I'll never wind up with any side benefit from it. How could I? Oh! Pinterest. And all them recipes. We cooking them. She's cooking them. Mrs. Lenvoy is the lady, Lord bless her soul, that easily gets stuck in the rut of making the same things over and over and over. Not no more. Not since I got her that tablet. I don't know why I didn't buy one sooner. She's trying to... I will soon have another pants problem if we keep going the way that we're going. Strengthen his health. Keep him happy. Make him happy. Amen. Number three, the word here is mutual. So these are things that are mutual responsibilities that we are to do one together. This is nothing about necessarily the order, as in, you know, who's in charge, so to speak, or where the decisions stop. As I said, we're skimming the surface of this. We could elaborate on each of these points and try to draw things out, and we may take some time to look at each individual piece. But letter A, mutual training. What are you talking about? Raise them kids together. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. 2 Timothy 3:15, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Sorry, get a little dry mouth here. Mutual training. We've got to train our kids. We've got to train our kids. And parents, husband, wife, you have to get together on this. You cannot have opposing views on child raising and raise good kids. You cannot. It is one of the primary, there's many concerns, but it's one of the primary concerns when unsaved and a saved person get together. And even when saved people get together, part of marital counseling, one of the things is, how will we raise the children? Because we've got to get together on this. Because children will find the weakness in the system and exploit it to the nth degree. You get in a house where mom has got one of those quick to come on the defensive kind of natures and is against corporal punishment, dad will never be allowed to spank the kids. Because she will jump in. And I guarantee you, the first thing that kid's going to say is, if you spank me, I'm going to tell mom. The next thing that kid's going to say is, if you spank me, I'll tell the government. And I told my kid, you spank till the government, I'll be spanking till the government gets here. Now, she never threatened me with that, but I warned her ahead of time. I'll spank till the government gets here. But mutual training. We've got to train children. We're going to talk some in the weeks to come about child training, about raising children. God's people need to raise good children. I'm not talking about good members of society. I mean good Christian children. Our children ought to be better than the children that walk around in today's society. And I believe this, and this is not coming from a sense of pride, but if we have religion right, if we have separation right, if we have all those things right, our kids ought to turn out better than all the kids that come out of the churches in Williams Lake. I sincerely believe that. I'm not trying to be overly disrespectful to church. I'm just trying to say that if they're apostate and falling away from the faith and not raising their children right, if our children turn out no better than theirs, we're not doing it right. We've got to step up our game a little bit. All right? So mutual training. Let it be. Mutual companionship. If I have a failing, it's that I get to be a bit of a loner sometimes. Ms. Lindboy likes company. Mutual companionship. But we're built for companionship. I like to go to BP with my wife. That card that you guys got us, we appreciated that. We went 3 times on that card. We love to go. We're frugal people. We're not fancy. We really enjoy it. She loves for me to take her out to dinner. You know, she just wants to spend time with me. Sit across the table and chat with me. Get my attention. Why? Because we're built for companionship. Genesis 2:18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. He's not supposed to be alone. He needs a companion. Proverbs 18:22, whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. We're built for companionship. We need to spend time together. We need to be on the same page together. If life is so busy that I can't spend time with my wife, life is too busy. Something has to go. I've got something in my schedule something somewhere. Could there be a season like that? I get it. Life has seasons. The Bible talks all about that. Time to do this, and there's a time to do that. Yeah, there could come a season when things don't go that way. But if the season turns into my life is too busy to spend time with my wife, my life is too busy. If my life is too busy to go to church, it's too busy. You know, etc. Like all those things are. I have other responsibilities than to work, just to have a job and work. Built for something else. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I'm going to be tactful, because I'm dealing with a delicate topic. We're built for mutual intimacy. First Corinthians chapter 7. Now, I understand there are some younger ears here, so I will be tactful. The Bible says, verse 1, now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Now notice what the Bible says in the next verses. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence. What's that talking about? What's the topic talking about? Meet her needs. Everybody on the same page yet? I'm more thinking about adults here than I don't care if you teens understand what I'm talking about. Meet her needs. Make her happy. Amen? And likewise, so the wife unto the husband. Look at what verse 4 and 5 talk about. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Verse 5, defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourself to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan not tempt you for your incontinency. So what's that talking about? Well, we all know what that's talking about. That's the point that I guess I'm trying to get at is that is an area in married people's life. Hebrews 13:4 as well goes along with that. Marriage is honorable in all, the bed undefiled, but whoremonger is an adulterer, God will judge. And the connotation is that occasionally things that are supposed to go on do not go on, and they can be used in ways to manipulate. When it turns Frosty Friday in the bedroom, that'll upset the marriage. And God placed limitations and boundaries. Now, I am no fool. Listen, if two people are at odds with one another, things are not going to be well. Fair statement? Okay? But it ought not to be used as a club, as a power trip. Okay? I'm speaking beyond teenage understanding, I think. I'm going to stop there because I just, if we're going to say any more, we're going to send the teenagers away, okay? But I'm just being honest, okay? So that's what happens. That's the reality in society. That's exactly how that happens. And so it's not that way. We're built for that. God built you biologically to want to. That's not sin, by the way. That's like trying to tell you, you know, you're hungry? Sinful man. Why didn't eat? I'm hungry. What a sinful creature. No, just need a burger and I'll be fine. Amen? Same thought. Okay? And so I know that it happens. I'm not suggesting it's happening. I'm saying it happens. It happens all the time. It's wrong. That is sinful. That is wrong. When mutual intimacy does not take place in a marriage, then that is wrong. Enough said. If we're going to say any more, I got to send the teenagers away. I could get deeper into that topic. I will not. I'll choose not to. Okay. The home is the building block of our church and of our society. The home or family is the basic unit of all society. Strong families are the important, and by that virtue I mean strong homes, strong marriages, all of those above things, are important for the success of society and the success of our churches. When you have a society as we have now that doesn't recognize the family, that is, society will eventually fall apart. And when you have a particular church that doesn't recognize the family or the importance of the home life, you'll have an unsuccessful church. So I just have some questions as we close. Husband, are you leading your home? Are you the leader? And if not, do you need to step up? Young men, are you preparing to lead yours? You better be prepared to lead. You better be prepared to shoulder responsibility. It is not all about the authority. It is all about the responsibility. Wives, are you following your husbands? You should be. And then, young ladies, are you preparing to follow yours? Say, no man gonna tell me what to do. Problems coming. Problems coming. Amen. Heavenly Father, help us to have great homes. Help us to have good, solid marriages, Lord, founded and based on the Scriptures. Lord, we know that the pattern that you put together is the best pattern.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message. For more messages from the pulpit of Lake City Baptist Church, please visit lakecitybaptist.ca.